Mike, 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning. Believe it or not, today is Saturday, April 8th. And that's one of those songs I always hate to hear fade out. It's just such a great song.
It is. Yeah. Stevie Wonder is just obviously one of the greats.
Wait a minute. You guys, it's 9 o'clock. You guys can't be here.
We're here on time.
What happened?
I set my clocks back by accident. I thought it was a fall.
It'd be good if you had accidents more often, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah. So how are you guys doing? By the way, it's Mark Horowitz and Les Horowitz, everybody.
Yeah, and Mike's pointing to each of us. We just want you to know this.
It's good for radio, yeah.
Yeah. Pointing is good on radio.
I'm a pointer. I used to be a dog in a former life. Actually.
Try the veal, yeah. But in answer to your question, I think we're both doing fine. Uh-huh. I'm a little tired because I led a walk last night for the Appalachian Mountain Club. And I'm actually leading another hike right after the show, so rust never sleeps, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Mark and I never argue. I never see him.
Exactly. I'm always up in the mountains.
He's always out walking somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, so today, it's Mark Horowitz and Les Horowitz, and Mark's going to help with the freeform, and you've got a six-song set you're going to do a little later.
Right? Yes, indeed.
And some industry news and some reviews.
Yeah.
Yay, and Les, you're doing some good stuff as well.
I hope.
Let me sort of see if I can paraphrase what you said you're going to do. This is pretty cool. You are going to be putting on different overcoats, you said.
Yeah, the emperor wears no clothes, but I wear overcoats.
Thank God for that. So you're going to do that as both a performer and a composer by way of recordings with and of one of your former students.
Correct.
Who is now an eminent teacher, violinist, composer, and conductor out of Norway.
Exactly.
And you say that he is a Spanish genius from, is it Bilbao?
Bilbao, right.
God bless you. who came here for his studies. So that sounds intriguing. Really does.
It's really almost interesting, really.
and you'll be tinkling the ivories a little bit?
I'll be heard today, perhaps for the first and last time on this program. We'll give it a shot.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Next time you're going to hear him on the accordion, actually. We have some accordion tapes.
Oh, did you ever hear what George Shearing had as a definition of an accordion, of a perfect gentleman?
I didn't.
No. His definition of a perfect gentleman is a man who knows how to play the accordion, but doesn't.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I just heard crickets.
Yeah, it's crazy because it's daytime.
I know.
They don't really usually come out at that time.
Well, hey, that's especially when you set the clocks back. Things are kind of out of sight.
Well, you did it by accident. Maybe if you meant it, then can we just move on?
I think we should move on.
All right. So we have some new noise today. It's 9:03 in the morning at WMFO. This is a lot of people ask me, you really like this band? And I'm like, yeah, I do. This is Incubus, and they have a new record out. They titled it 8, the numeral 8.
Wait a minute.
What?
People say, why do you like this band?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Incubus is a great band.
You like Incubus, don't you?
Actually, I've unfriended people on Facebook because they didn't like Incubus. So that's another story.
Have you heard this new one?
Not yet. No, I'm looking forward to hearing this.
All right, this is from this new record that they called 8, the numeral 8. And this is called Undefined. Brand new here.
Oh.
At WMFO.
Be another universe, one that wasn't always out to get ya. That it breaks my heart a little bit. That here I'm like a sleepwalker, half alive and hanging by a thread.
I'm not dead yet. loss it was to see him. Walker every day into a shady place. With her lips she said, hey, pa.
Deep in love. Will you? chick is worth it. It's all that you got. Metal shivs on earth, pushed to my back. There's a splinter in your eye.
WMFO, everybody, how you doing? 9:27 in the morning. Hi, Les. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's going on with you two? Oh, wait, we already talked about that.
We did? I don't remember.
Yeah, I know. It was all of 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, I'm looking outside and it's so beautiful out.
It is. It's on the cusp of spring.
It is, yeah. And by Tuesday, Wednesday, it should be 85 in some places.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to Florida. You know, I just decided I would go for some warm weather, and
it's
then it
gets
warmer.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. Yeah. There's a bunch of kids, too, running up the stairs across the street.
Yeah, they're going up that hill that I hate so much. I hate it every year, like more and more every year. Mm-hmm. When I went to Tufts, that hill was so easy. And now it takes me like half a day to go up that hill.
What was the difference, I wonder?
Too many meatball subs.
30 years, maybe?
Yeah, that too.
All right, let me tell you what I played, and then we'll get to our friend Les. We started off with something new from Incubus. Yeah, you heard me, Incubus. Brand new record coming out called 8, the numeral 8, and that was Undefeated. Our own Pixies after that with Gigantic. A request from Tom Ruprecht, all together now, all the way from Worcester. He wanted to hear Long Distance Runaround from the Fragile CD, and yes, of course. Led Zeppelin from the Complete Studio Album is where I got that. Cashmere. I wore cashmere today because it's a little chilly. And then we just finished up with, I know you want to.
I was going to say Crickets, but even Crickets aren't cricketing.
No,
right,
they didn't like that either.
No.
REM from the Great Reckoning CD way back in the 80s. Harborcoat.
That was quite a set
that.
There.
Love that track.
Yeah, some of my favorite bands there. That Yes song is just, in high school, yeah, I'm old. In high school, that was such a big hit for everybody.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks, Tom, for the request there. All right, Les, I guess we have to turn it over to you.
Well, I will. Right. Shall I start?
Good segue.
Sure. Go ahead.
I don't need any introduction, obviously. I'm so famous.
No, go ahead.
Actually, I will be changing, just for today, I promise, the direction of the program. As you, those of you who heard this program before know that I present music and attach very stringently historical reasons for that which you are hearing. Mm-hmm. Today I'm going to go in a slightly different direction. In addition to the usual duties as a musicologist, you're going to hear me as a performer, I promise only once, and also as a composer. And it's through one of my former students, actually I'm here, but I'm being represented by that or this person whom you will hear. He was an exchange student back in the 80s from northern Spain. He was born in northern Spain, came over here in order to get ready for doing his college work in America, and chose Arlington for the high school because of the music programs there. I happen to be, just to set this up, wearing two coats at this particular time. I was doing college-level work at the high school. I did nothing but college-level work at the high school as an experiment to prove that students are not generally expected to go past themselves, and I thought I'd perhaps disprove it. And so I was teaching a college-level course in analysis at the high school and teaching at college at the Longy School of Music during the same period. And I met this young fellow from Bilbao, Spain. His name, and you'll hear his performances and his work throughout this program, is Ricardo Odriozola, O-D-R-I-O-Z-O-L-A, Odriozola. And he established. He is an amazing fellow. He established himself immediately, even though he had never been out of Spain until he came to this country, as the best English student in the department at the high school. And Tom Trevisani, who was the leader, who the director of the English department, was absolutely amazed at the vocabulary that this guy had. He was absolutely incredible. Not only that, but the reason he came over here was to establish himself as quickly as he could as a violinist. His violin playing is amazing. He, before coming, sent me, it couldn't have been a CD, it had to be a cassette, of some of his playing, and I could not believe that it was a 16-year-old at the time. Now, as a 17-year-old, he appears as a senior at the high school in Arlington. And to make a long story short, he quickly established himself very easily as the best of the students in my college-level course was absolutely brilliant in everything he did musically. As a matter of fact, he became a kind of hero among the kids at the high school. I mean, they sort of looked up to him as an intermediary between those of us on the faculty and the student body. I mean, he established himself within 2 weeks. Now I'm going to start out by having you listen to a composition that I wrote, and it's a piece of music for violin and piano, and this was the world premiere of my toccata, which is the third movement of a sonatine, which means a little sonata in French, which was world premiere at Pickman Hall at the Longy School of Music, where he was taking violin lessons with Roman Totenberg, the acknowledged violin master in the Boston area. Now, this piece is extremely difficult. The word toccata means touch in Italian, and it goes all the way back to pre-Baroque days, just to prove the brilliance technically of the performer by way of a piece written to point out the technological possibilities on an instrument, primarily the organ at that time. So my toccata is simply an extension historically of that history. It's extremely difficult, it's extremely fast, and I can tell you, I wrote a handful for myself. It was a very difficult piece. I had to practice my own music in order to play it well. And also, it could not be played at all without memorizing. The notes go by very quickly. You'll also note that the violinist, Odriozola, he was 17 at this time. He was a senior at the high school in Arlington. And you have to ask yourself, how could anybody at age 17 do what he does? So why don't you hear yours truly and Ricardo Odriozola at age 17 doing my toccata. There you were. The last three notes are a sneeze. I injected a little humor into the piece. And he said Gesundheit with the violin just a moment before that. Okay. A 17-year-old playing like that, can you imagine?
No, it's kind of crazy.
Can one imagine? You know, as a composer, I reached up to a level I never expected to reach up to represent a 17-year-old. This is an amazing situation. And it went over like, well, the audience simply stood up and yelled. It was really amazing. Now, the next piece, this is Ricardo now, much more recently, to show you where he has come. You're going to hear, for the most part in this program, unaccompanied violin. This is an art form which was really brought to its height during the time of Bach. As a matter of fact, almost all of the great composers following Bach pretty much said, why even try? There are there is a small, relatively small number of pieces written for unaccompanied violin after Bach, who died in 1750. I happen to be one of the composers continuing to do that. And there are works for unaccompanied violin, but so much fewer, primarily because of the work that Bach did on establishing the reality that an instrument that is suspended by a thumb and only four fingers to play on four strings, to see how much could come out of that instrument. Here is one of the masterpieces written by Bach called Presto, presto meaning quickly. This will demonstrate the technique that Odriozola has. Now, this was recorded about a year ago in Norway. So let's listen to the Presto by Bach for unaccompanied violin with Ricardo Odriozola. Now you're going to hear Ricardo again with another piece by Bach, but I want you to listen carefully, and I'll tell you why to this particular piece. This tells us some of the incredible vision that Bach had. We know that the violin is tiny. It has only four strings. Only four fingers can play all of the notes that are available to history on these four strings. A couple of things have to be taken into account. During the time that he wrote, very often you hear in the works of Bach two or even more, as many as four simultaneous notes. How do you do it on a violin? I must point out to you that there was a bow during Bach's time called, well, we'll call it the German bow. It was arched, but unlike the bow of today, which is held tightly mechanically by just turning a knob, the strings are held or loosened by the thumb letting go of, at least in partiality, of the strings at the hand end of the bow. And this is how the Baroque violin is played. If Bach wanted to write three or even four notes at a time, the hairs would simply be loosened by pressure release by way of the thumb while this man is still, or the woman is still playing. So you're going to hear a piece of music, and listen carefully. How many times do you hear more than one note? Sometimes two, simultaneously, sometimes three, once in a while even four. And you're going to hear, in a sense, a kind of minuscule orchestra. Extremely difficult music to write and to play, because the combinations of notes to be played simultaneously are limited. Because of the size of the instrument, and the combinations therefore have to be understood by the composer. Listen to this, see what you think. I should put into perspective the kind of thing you're hearing. It's not that he was connected to me in any way that I say this. This is something that's going on over there. He's becoming very quickly established as one of the leading violinists in Europe. And he prefers remaining in Europe. He teaches at the University of Bergen in Norway as associate professor over there. And he has a lot of master students and does incredibly important work as a teacher of the violin. But he does tour all over Europe and other countries as a violinist. In one of his statements he made, this tells us something about where he feels he is. He said, "It has nothing to do with any modesty or loss of modesty, but I honestly feel that I have as much to say as any recording of any of the pieces I play that I've heard from other artists." And he's saying that he feels not totally satisfied. No one is ever that as an artist. There's always something to, there's no such thing as perfection. We seek something that we can never get. But what he is saying is that he feels pretty well disposed about where he's been taking himself. And when you hear these pieces by other great violinists, you have to tell me whether Ricardo is not up there with these other violinists. He's extremely well known now in Europe and becoming more and more so. Now, as a composer, you're going to hear a piece for piano. This is played by arguably one of Norway's best pianists. His name is Einar Rottingen, R-O-T-T-I-N-G-E-N, and a very close friend of Ricardo's. They've been playing together for a long time, and they've made many recordings, and we'll talk about the recordings in a little while. This is a piece that Ricardo wrote, and it's a wonderful title. It's Once in a Lifetime, but let me tell you what it means. The Once in a Lifetime attaches to the importance of his one child. Once in a Lifetime. This was written for his daughter, Isabel, and it's a piece that is very, very romantic and has a delicious melody. Just listen to Einar playing Ricardo's Once in a Lifetime.
Thank you.
I'm honored by Einar, the pianist, playing many of my compositions, some of my compositions, which are always also on recording. Now, the next piece is also for piano, and this is not by Ricardo, but by me. You know, I'm part of this program, you know, and I thought I'd perhaps represent myself as a composer. The strangest piano lessons I ever gave were at a distance of, what, 6,000 miles to Norway by way of computer. His daughter, Ricardo's daughter, probably age 12 at this time, was taking piano lessons in Spain, and at the same time asked me by computer, could you write something for me, sir, and this sort of thing. So I thought, I'll write her some pieces. I wrote her a set of pieces over a period of 6 or 7 weeks, one of which you're going to hear right now. Now, listen to it because it's over almost before it begins, and Mike will bring up the volume a little bit. It's a rather soft recording. This piece is based upon my sense of my importance in my mind, the importance I have about Isabella as a daughter of one of my students of long lasting and a friend of great long lasting. So Isabella took this piece and learned it. It is one page long. One of the composer's greatest challenges is by way of a question. Can I write a complete idea on one page? Schumann did it. Grieg did it. Chopin did it. Some of the great composers were able to do that. I have written one piece here in 8 measures. It's 8 measures long. I think it's less than a minute. It's less than one page long. This is Para Isabel. Again, hearing a piece like this tells me that at the same time as being a composer, I'm a friend of the great performer Ricardo, and a friend of the daughter of the great friend Ricardo, and something as a teacher given to someone 6,000 miles away. Now, the next piece is back to Ricardo as a solo violinist, divertimento, divertissement, you know, in other words, a sense of divertissement. It's a piece written for unaccompanied violin. Listen to the double notes. Very often, I like to write for the violin as a kind of dialogue. Is it possible to write a dialogue for one instrument, for 4 strings? Once Ricardo told me that in my music, what he loves hearing, and it created a picture for him, is the sense of dialogue. He sees himself very often when he plays with me. I think it was he, maybe it was my picture, but I believe it could have been his picture, of two Ricardos sitting side by side on identical chairs playing 2 violins and playing at the same time. So here is a divertissimo. Thank you. that piece. Now, here's another piece for unaccompanied violin, as played by Ricardo, called Capriccio, a caprice, and it's in the style of a waltz, just in three time. Also, listen carefully to dialogue. You'll hear the dialogue, especially when the theme that you hear at the beginning returns a little later in the piece. It's a relatively short piece with an extra melody along with it. Here is Ricardo playing Capriccio. The next piece by Ricardo on the violin and Einar again at the piano. This is a piece written for a very close friend of Ricardo's, a lovely lady from Croatia. They're very, very close friends. And her name is Blazenka, Blazenka. This piece is called Para Blazenka. You sometimes get the feeling that I've been writing music for Ricardo for quite a long time. Well, you're absolutely right. And this tells you a little bit about the kinds of things I do beside teaching. I compose, and these compositions you've heard played by a wonderful artist. And by the way, Einar is one of the top pianists in Europe, there's no question. Now, the final piece, I'm going to go roundabout. The first piece you heard, you may remember, called Toccata, the world premiere of a 17-year-old at the Longy School, Cambridge, with yours truly at the piano. Now you're going to hear him play the same piece, much closer to our time. This was done relatively recently, with Einar playing the piano. This is, again, my piece, the same piece you heard, but with a different pianist and certainly a musician of great growth.